Hello and welcome to the programme which looks at the Holy Land. I am Paul Calvert.
Psalm 84 verse 1 from the New King James Bible says this: How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts.
I'm with Elana Heidemann from Israel Forever Foundation, and we're talking about Tisha B'Av. Now, Elana, what is Tisha B'Av?
Tisha B'Av is a day of national mourning for the Jewish nation. It is the day on which the Holy Temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, not once, but twice. It is a day that throughout history, our enemies have chosen as a day to bring about pain and suffering and massacres against Jews and Jewish rights. So whereas Tisha B'Av, the ninth of the Jewish month of Av on the Jewish calendar, the lunar calendar, the ninth is the day of significance that reminds us every year of those who seek to destroy us and who not only seek the destruction of our holiness, our faith, but our entire existence, as we are seeing in the battles this year for Tisha B'Av, the ninth of the month of Av.
Is it an actual holiday day, or do you go to work but just remember what's happened?
Tisha B'Av is not like other Jewish holidays like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Pesach, where the day is like the complete day of rest with no work. However, it is such a holy day for the Jewish nation that the mourning element is something that is carried with us no matter how we observe. So there are those in the Orthodox world who dedicate the entire day to the reading of Eicha, the stories of the Bible that describe the destructions that the Jewish people have faced throughout history, and the tests and trials against Jewish faith. And of course, the majority of Jews also are fasting as an expression of their sadness. This is true not only in the Orthodox world. You'll find even non-observant Jews who have understood the significance of the day of Tisha B'Av, but maybe their fasting is a little different, or their observance of the day, and maybe they don't join a learning group, but they find a way to connect. And that's, I think, why and how Tisha B'Av has always stayed a part of Jewish identity. That no matter what our external circumstances have been, the constant reminders of the destruction in history that has happened to us keep us going, knowing that we will survive. So it is not a holiday in the observant sense of the word, like the Sabbath, but it's a holiday in the sense of how we observe it within our souls and as individuals and as communities.
What sort of things have happened on or around Tisha B'Av?
Well, we actually begin the counting before Tisha B'Av itself. We begin on the 17th of the Hebrew month of Tammuz, then, which is when the walls surrounding Jerusalem were first breached. And these 3 weeks that lead up to Tisha B'Av are considered a time of the beginning of observance. Then you have the 9 days, which begins with Rosh Chodesh Av, the very first of the month of Av. And we just honored that the other day. And so then we enter what is called the 9 days. And these are 9 days of counting when we knew, and we transport ourselves even back to that time when we can imagine the infiltrations of our most safe and secure walls of protection. And as they infiltrated, and we think out to ourselves, these were the Romans, and they had, you know, certain kinds of military techniques, and they had certain kinds of strategies, all of which were aimed at destroying the temple and Jewish life to the best of their ability everywhere in the vicinity. So we kind of, it's not just Tisha B'Av, but all these days beforehand. For the 9 days, we don't eat, many families don't eat meat. We have certain, you know, different observances that have been developed in Mizrahi, Sephardi, and Ashkenazi different cultures. But in all their versions of expression, what they share is the centrality of Jerusalem to our identity as Jews, the centrality of the temple as something that maybe we don't even understand today anymore. For people, especially who are secular, the idea of the holy temple in Jerusalem, and everybody sees it as a big golden dome. The majority of the world does not realize that before that building was set up, 1,000 years later, there stood the most glorious of temples. And so I think Tisha B'Av, by the way, has very important significance also for the non-Jewish world to be able to understand that Judaism has always been one of the great civilizations of humanity. And our temple, as God himself says, and it was written that his temple would be a temple for all people, the destruction of the temple gives the potential for even non-Jews to identify with that Jewish suffering and what it means for all mankind. Because after the destruction of the temple, unity amongst mankind was also shattered, and continued wars took place. I'm sure, Paul, a lot of this sounds reminiscent for some of your listeners about this is what we're living through. Our walls have been penetrated. Our people are being killed. We're being endlessly threatened. And the goal is the extinction of the Jew and all things Jewish. So Tisha B'Av, when you ask also what is remembered, is it only those things the ancient time ago? I do want to emphasize that our enemies have continuously chosen Tisha B'Av as days in which to bring about persecutions. In the Holocaust, the Nazis used not only Tisha B'Av, but Yom Kippur and many days of significance on the Jewish calendar as days for mass murder. And just like Simchat Torah was chosen for October 7th, the Hamas massacre and the onset of the Hamas war against the Jewish people, we are seeing that now Iran threatens us with an attack on Tisha B'Av. The world uses our most painful history as ammunition against us, as a form of psychological terror. So today, this year, Tisha B'Av has tremendous power and significance for every one of us.
Mm. Do you read any scriptures on this day?
We do. A lot of people read Eicha, and they read even in a Kohelet is often read, and many people delve into, sometimes on different Chagim, on different holidays, you know, we read Pirkei Avot all the time, and we read Tehillim, the Psalms, all the time. Pirkei Avot, excuse me, is the ethics of our fathers. So I think that for many people, we try to focus on the historical books, but we also like to draw the connections with other stories throughout history. And now more than ever, I think probably those who delve into the reading and the learning are looking how to relate Tisha B'Av to their lives today. What can they be reading in order to understand more deeply? Why does this keep happening to us? Why does the world think it's okay to persecute and destroy?
Many hostages are still going through a day of disaster, even after 300 days. I imagine there'll be a very big focus this year for many people of the hostages of what happened on October the 7th this year, is there?
I think that there is not a moment of any given day where the hostages are not connected to everything we do, every breath we take, and even words that we share. Tisha B'Av is an interesting point of connection, because our only hope, of course, is that every single day we hope that our hostages will be recovered, will be returned, will be released, will be rescued by our soldiers. It is horribly, horribly painful. The rest of the world is able to move on. We are not, and we do not. We go on with our daily lives. So will Tisha B'Av evoke a connection with the hostages? I do think so, because it's just like every single other part of our day. We just don't, you can't move on. You don't go to the beach without seeing the posters, and your heart is jarred, or drive down the highway. And they have actually scattered throughout different highways in Israel. They have a car from the massacre at Nova, and it's been painted yellow. It's a car of one of the victims, and it's there as a reminder. Every single thing we do, it'll be interesting, I believe, to see how those who maybe previously didn't honor Tisha B'Av will this year find a way of connecting with its significance. People who maybe it didn't matter to them, because there's a lot of people amongst the Jewish people who were very secular, and they were not raised with education, and they're not raised with a connection to Jerusalem. Jews have always been encouraged to give up our faith and to give up our identity for the sake of being accepted by the societies in which we live. So that challenges Jews today. So maybe they're moved by the kidnapped hostages, the abducted hostages. the abducted children, Ariel Bibas having just turned 5 years old, and Karina 20 and Agam 20. And, you know, we know the names and the birthdays of each one of them. I bet many of them are keeping track on a calendar and are recognizing the significance of still passing Tisha B'Av, still in captivity, without anyone in the world really doing much to help us get them home. We are so alone. And maybe that's also a lesson connecting us to Tisha B'Av, which is during the destruction, there were no nations that came to our aid. The war against the Jews is not most people's war. It's only when it affects them that maybe there's some interest in helping to defend these Jews, these Jewish rights, and this Jewish state that has welcomed people from every possible faith and race to be a part of this glorious society. Demonize it as you will. There is no one who can look at Israel and say it is not a miracle, and a beautiful one at that.
Now, Iran is threatening Israel at the moment. Is this a very worrying time for you as it comes up to Tisha B'Av?
I have to choke down my tears just to even answer nearly every question, Paul. That's how on edge everyone is, trying to say, okay, wow, he mentioned it. You just said it out loud, you know? You like, whew, yeah, okay, we know the attacks, because every day there's another announcement, right? So I happened to be in Haifa the other night, and it was the night that Iran said, we have 5 targets that we're going to hit, and 2 of them were in Haifa. And I was, you know, what are you supposed to do with that information? Is it better to have this forecast that Iran is saying missiles are going to fall on Tisha B'Av, where Jews are going to be gathered together? Everyone is going to be gathered together in communities in order to read our history and to remind ourselves of the significance of Jerusalem, because we have to keep reminding ourselves. You know, I'll tell you something, actually. Napoleon once visited, when he was in Vilna in Lithuania, it was Tisha B'Av, and he saw the Jews weeping and learning Torah. And he proclaimed, any people who still weep for the loss of their temple thousands of years ago, we know has a deserved right to that land. And it's an amazing thing to see how this memory has been a part of our continued identity. Iran is also, it's a part of our continued identity in association with a whole region, this time it's Iran, that is controlling all the proxies around us. We can't be afraid only of one entity. We have to be afraid of all. We are afraid on every border. You don't know if those attacks are going to come from the air, or what many people in the world do not realize is actually an increase in terror attacks coming from the region of Judea and Samaria, the ancestral homeland of our forefathers. And they have been increasing in infiltrations into the country at various borders, stabbings and shootings that are taking place, and many halted because of our absolutely incredible security forces. They have uncovered whole cells and levels of ammunition that would defy human imagination. They are working around the clock, and many of whom we should recognize are not only, you know, in-service officers, who, by the way, are basically children. These are our children protecting us. But they're also the reserve soldiers who have left their families, left their businesses, and they are volunteering to be on the front lines against these terrorists. So just the other night, a ring of 5 terrorists had infiltrated, and we're close to reaching a Jewish community. And if we don't keep reminding the world what happened on October 7th, people don't understand why our hunt for terrorists and our determination to take out Hamas and win this war is the most just thing that any human being in the world could support right now.
Can you see God in calamity?
Wow, what a question. I personally can, but I am somebody who has spent most of my life dealing with atrocity memory. I've been a Holocaust scholar for, you know, 36 years of my life, and it has always been a part of analyzing the experience, where is God? I often quote my master, Elie Wiesel, when he was asked, a survivor of Birkenau and Buchenwald, and Nobel Prize winning author as well, and teacher, who said, after the Holocaust, how can I believe in man? And that's really where I look at where God is. God is with those who are good, even in moments of atrocity. God is giving us the strength to be able to endure in spite of the atrocity. For me to be able to find and be gifted with the words to answer questions that you're asking that are really hard, because we're living in a time of war that no one really wants to recognize. There's no humanitarian aid coming to Israelis. We don't get any. It goes to the Palestinians, the poor Palestinians and their suffering situation that they created themselves by choosing this life and this leadership, which is only dominated by a world that will be Judenrein, free of Jews. That is their goal. That is their mantra. That is their death cult vision. So for us, where do I see God? In an ultimate battle. Good and evil are in an ultimate battle today. And evil is doing a very good job of convincing most of the world that it is under the guise of good, right? If you believe in social justice, then you believe in the destruction of Israel? The logic is warped. So where do I see God? I see God in the fact that probably since October 7th, we have a massive global increase in previously unaffiliated, unreligious Jews finding prayer, looking to Torah. I see God in the acts of chesed and tzedakah, charity and good deeds of kindness, gemilut chasadim, here amongst the people of Israel, which has literally saved our society in these 10 months of war. I see people who will spend money they don't have to help families who have even less. People who will give up their work so that they will volunteer. I see God in that. And I think that God is with the people of Israel and all of our friends around the world who have loved Israel or loved Zion, but you know, are afraid to speak out right now. I hope that God will be with them and give them strength to do more and say more and stand up for Jews, because however you're behaving now, that is how you would have behaved in 1934.
Do you believe that there will be a third temple on the Temple Mount?
Very difficult question to answer. I believe with all of my heart in the coming of the Mashiach, of the Messiah, speedily in his days, as our fundamental prayer says, Ani ma'amin be'emuna shlema, I believe that there will be a third temple as it was prophesied. What it will look like, how it will be, how it will arrive, one cannot know. There are those who have said that Israel is laying the ground for this coming of the temple, which really it embodies the redemption of not just the Jewish people from all evil and all suffering, but it redeems all of humanity. So I think that we must hold on to our faith that there will be such a redemption, even though it's hard for people to talk about. You know, unless you're in the religious world, then these are not common conversations people have. These are not common things people want to talk about. Redemption? What? Third temple? Sacrifices on the Temple Mount? Right? Which is right now dominated by a golden globe that everybody seems to think is a mosque, but it isn't. And they don't even understand the history surrounding it. So do I hope that there will be a third temple where we deservedly so can go and pray and help the world find peace and unity and harmony and serenity? Yes, I must believe in it. We must believe in it.
Are Jews preparing for that today?
I saw there was this really great thing, I think. Oh, it was so great. It looked like, you know how people put up flyers on bulletin boards with the little slips at the bottom that you can tear off with a number, like guitar lessons or cleaning services, you know what I mean? So there was this one, and it had a picture of the temple. And the little slips at the bottom were different acts of kindness and different mitzvot that you could do to help bring the temple closer. And it's the most genius thing that, like, are Jews preparing for what the third temple means? There's definitely some amazing individuals who are dedicated to restoring it's very well defined in the Torah, the practices in the temple. Everything is so documented in not only the Bible, but also in supplementary materials So there are the Temple Institute in the Old City is one of those that is really focused on the physical preparations of the kelim, the utensils that are needed, pure gold and other things like that, that are needed in the use of the temple altar. However, these little tiny acts, this is also part of bringing about the temple and redemption, that more and more people are doing good for each other, with each other. That's what we need, not the hate fests that are running through every street in the world. And I just wonder, we're all cowering in fear and letting them dominate. That has to stop. We must put an end to them being able to control us. So do I see God in that? That is the godly fight we all need to pick up. He is giving us opportunities, and I fear that people are still too asleep. We see what's happening in London, outside of London. We see a killing in a kindergarten. We see killing everywhere. We see people calling for killing, and everybody's saying, freedom of speech. We've been here before. And more people need to find God in their hearts and say, I have to find a way to do something more. Because only by doing that, and that's not a job of Israel, by the way. That's not only the job of Israel. We're fighting one element of the war, and we're giving the world wisdom and experience and resources so that fight can be fought everywhere. We just got to get people to see it and not be blinded by accusations of Islamophobia just because we want to prevent the next caliphate taking over through jihad.
Iran is threatening Israel, and Tisha B'Av is coming up very, very soon. What is your prayer for Israel at this moment?
The hand of God is going to again be present whenever Iran chooses to attack. That is something that I think I pray everybody could say out loud or to themselves, that we can have confidence that we can rely on our military and we can rely on God, and they are not obsolete. Right now in Israel, we're facing a problem with our, you know, the ultra-Orthodox communities not being interested in serving in our military forces. And one of the claims that they make, and I myself believe that all citizens of Israel, and frankly, I believe all Jews in the world, should be serving in the Israel Defense Forces, because without our soldiers, female and male and all ages, we are not able to fight the wars that they will keep bringing upon us. And they will. This is not the last war we're going to have to fight in our existence. My prayer is that people wake up to their personal responsibility, to our connection with the destiny that we're living. And my prayer is that God will extend his hand and help us so that as few of our innocent are murdered in this onslaught, not only in Israel, but everywhere in the world. There are more attacks than anybody is even aware of happening. Not everything is reported. Certainly not everything is making mainstream media, which is where the majority of people are getting their news, or social media, which is even worse because you don't hear anything. Even the extremists in Bangladesh have just wiped out a village and the destruction is massive and nobody cares. An entire group of Hindus, nobody cares, because you can't blame the Jews. You can't blame Israel. It's not about Jews doing something wrong. It's not. This label of pro-Palestinian has maybe more and more people, we hope, it's another thing I pray, maybe more and more people are going to wake up to the fact that it is nothing other than a mask. A mask to say, join us on the one thing we have in common. The one hate that has existed for all these years, and that is the hatred of Jews. And so my last prayer is that all Jews and all friends of Jews stay not woke, but awake, that we see what's happening, we take part, and we help God come to our streets and our societies. We don't just wait for miracles. We help to set the stage for the miracles that need to happen in every instance, through every prayer, every reading of Torah, every act between people. So let's just do more together.
What's your website for people who'd like to know more about the work that you're doing here in the land?
I will tell you, I am so proud of Israel Forever. We are at www.israelforever.org. where we welcome people all over the world to join our global community as virtual citizens of Israel, identifying themselves, being recognized, and being proud to be a part of a community of people that is interested not only in information, but also resources that we provide, activities that you can use in your home or educational and communal environments. And most importantly, right now, we are all a part of Hasbara. We are all a part of doing the important work of supplementing what is happening in the media, or rather what is not happening enough in the media. So every single virtual citizen of Israel is empowered to do more with their voice, to feel that they're connected and representative as an ambassador, as somebody who feels confident that they're doing the right thing. They are standing with courage because they're standing with Israel forever.
Amen. Well, Ilana, thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you for the opportunity. It is always a pleasure to analyze these topics. I think that I want to encourage everyone to go home and ask these questions themselves with their friends. I feel like sometimes people like us, we're always, you know, asking and answering and interviewing. And yet, are we encouraging people to do that at home? Because they're all really afraid to have controversial conversations. Nobody wants it to be uncomfortable. But I really encourage people to go and have these conversations in a calm, peaceful way. Talk about what is our prayer for right now. It cannot only revolve around a one-sided view of this ongoing war. The war is happening because it takes a lot of effort to bring about good in the world. And God gave all of us the chance to be a part of it. So go home and have your conversations and talk with your family and do what needs to be done to stop the extremism in our streets, in our education systems, in our workplaces, in our homes, and in our hearts. Stop the hate. Stop allowing the hate to dominate what you think about Jews and Israel. This is our chance to save the world. So thank you for giving me a chance to encourage people to do that.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Pray that God will move by his mighty power in the Holy Land and bring his peace.